Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and we are celebrating the Year of the Family. Listen weekdays to catch our original programming with special guests and amazing topics for your entire family, health, wealth, wellness, and so much more. It's the YOTF right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're going to love it.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Terry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Stars all the way from here. Can't
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
It's the Digital Diary for today, Thursday, February 24th of 2022, hour show number 678, show number 678. The Digital Diary is where we break down today's live episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, on the way soon, it's our 700th live on-air broadcast, and we're planning a very special celebration with all kinds of guests and surprises. We'll keep you informed. Now, on today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm looking back at 7 a.m. Eastern Time today, 6 o'clock Central. Mary Ree Johnson of Hair Hit Heart has me on the hot seat. She actually interviews me, Carrie Hines. So I'll share some items and things I've never talked about on air. I think it's very special commentary about my journey here, right to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, it's a preview of our very first episode called Looking Back. Then at 8 o'clock this morning Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central, It's a brand new interview with drummer Ralph Roll, who is also an incredibly successful cookie entrepreneur. Now, he's played on some of my most favorite songs, and yours too. So definitely stay tuned for that. Okay, it's a big show on the way. So happy Thursday, and this has been the Digital Diary Report for today, February 24th of 2022. So for now, sending it back to more of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have two very special guests joining us today. Well, they're from the world of education. It is my honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Joel A. Freeman and welcoming for the very first time Dr. Walter Milton Jr. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. We are honored to be with you this morning.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you, Carrie. We love being here and looking forward to our time together.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Dr. Freeman, we're going to kick off with you. You were kind enough to help us kind of launch the Hair Radio Morning Show 5 years ago, literally hundreds of episodes of this broadcast ago. And we're so excited because many of our listeners, you've touched folks around the world with your story. And so we're going to remind everybody about that, but I just wanted to officially welcome you back to the broadcast and how we were able to use that wonderful, wonderful interview as a great foundation for pushing us forward. And we're still here today. I think that's a big part of that. So thank you.
Well, I'm very thrilled at what you're doing and how you've done it, your integrity, your stick-to-itiveness, and it's an inspiration to all of us.
Wonderful. Well, listen, again, welcome to the show. And now I have to turn also to Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. You are from the Rochester, New York area. And you are, when I tell you, I was just blown away at your story when I started to do some research. School superintendent for years, literally author. Yes. So education, to put it mildly, is important. So, Dr. Milton, I have to get in there. What, where did this come from, this whole, this journey that you are on, that you've been on? And it's, I'm going to call it a track, I think. So where did this come from in terms of jumping into the education or on the education wagon, I should say?
Well, I had two teachers that impacted my life in ways in which one could never imagine. I had a teacher by the name of Adam Urbanski. He was a gentleman from Poland, and he talked about history. He was one of my high school history teachers, and he taught history in a way that you can only fall in love with. And he talked about the movers and shakers of history, the carriers of information, and how we have to learn to deconstruct things and find ourselves in the whole cloak of history. So he planted a major seed in me. Then I had a science teacher. Her name was Cassandra Frierson. And Cassandra Frierson said that I'm part of a history that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And I was so glad to meet her because I had an experience in elementary school that my teacher attempted to teach black history, but she started off in slavery. And what happened, it had ushered so much shame and humiliation for me. So that early those early years of my life, I was on this quest to find out some truths in history and where I played a role. And Dr. Frierson, or Cassandra Frierson, she said that my past is inexplicably tied to the beginning of time. And so as a result of those two individuals, I went into education, became a teacher, a principal, and then a school superintendent, and decided to step down and start my own company. And then it happened again. And when it happened this time, I said, I'm going to take action. When this whole quest and this desire and this love and passion for history came out, I said, I'm going to do something about it. So Joel Freeman was the first person that I've called. Joel has been a close friend of mine for many years, and I know that he is the curator of many African-American artifacts. And I said, Joel, would you go on this journey with me, man? And he didn't hesitate. Here we are, 2.5, almost 3 years later, with a final product, a finished product, rather. And our goal is to share our love letter to the world. I mean, this is our divine purpose and our mission as to why we exist.
And that is the reason that you guys are here today. And that is to introduce us to this amazing new book. And I'm going to have to thank you, Dr. Milton, for that. I'm going to have to turn now to Dr. Freeman. I'm going to ask you, Dr. Joel A. Freeman, first of all, again, welcome to the show. And just want to say we are going to turn to you to talk about this amazing new book. We want to make sure and get that on out there, Black History, An Inclusive Account of American History. Tell us about this book.
Yes, as Dr. Milton mentioned, it's a labor of love. It's 1,248 pages, weighs 5.5 pounds, has well over 2,500 images throughout, and about 500 of those images come straight from the collection my wife and I own. We own over 3,000 items. Documents and artifacts. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. And so we have put together, Walter and I, as he mentioned, we worked for about 2.5 years, putting in 12, 16-hour days and working, I'm telling you, it was just like Groundhog Day every day, just working at it and then going to sleep and working some more the next day and just day after day. So it was just both of us look at it right now and just go, we don't even know how it happened, except God's fingerprints are all over it. And we started in ancient Africa. And the reason why we started in ancient Africa is because we did not want to reinforce the notion, either implicitly or explicitly, that slavery was the beginning of Black history. We wanted to talk about the mores, the folkways, the hunting, the gathering, the fishing, the industry, the agriculture, the ancient African kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines. And now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the last four centuries. And even when we get into slavery and the slave trade, we have a whole section just about slave rebellions. We talk about the trickery used. And we have actual stories of how people were tricked into coming on the ship, and or to be kidnapped to get on the ship. So we wanted to give a whole different view about this that is not normally given, at least that we could find. And then there's a gentle timeline that takes us all the way through to the struggle for civil rights. We then. Once we have included that, then we get into the whole area of the economic system. We talk about arts, entertainment. We have a section on sports, Black quarterbacks, the integration of the NBA. And then we have a whole section on 50 states. And it's where we provide some insights into Black history in each state. So whatever state a listener is from, there will be some specific just a showcasing of what has happened in their particular state. Then the final unit is all about the North Star. It's over 100 pages, where we have a timeline from 1491 on that describes all that happened, their interaction between United States and Canada. And then we tell stories, we share stories from mid-1800s from a book called Refugees that a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Drew went north, and he interviewed a lot of people, and then he put 114 stories, their life stories, into the book. And so in our textbook, we start in Vancouver all the way over to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and everything in between. The Don Settlement with Josiah Henson, and so on and so forth. So it's really a wonderful way to show how people from the South, many suffered from Stockholm Syndrome, many just, you know, just the whole, how does a person leave not knowing where they're going to be going, and if they're going to get caught and maybe get killed or, you know, get chastised in a horrific ways. And then the fugitive slave laws pushing them into Canada. So we really Walter and I have put together a book that the response we've been getting from around the country has truly been heartwarming, and we are very grateful to be the instruments used to be able to help put this together. And, of course, as we've expanded after the writing was done, our wives are very much a part of this project, and we're grateful to them. And then more people came on that helped with curriculum design, with search engine optimization, media relations, professional development, and many other aspects that helped to, we now have a team of over 75 people that have helped to bring this to bear.
Well, I'm going to say, I think you have at least 76. I'm on board, too. Make sure and add me on
okay.
in to that, list. I saw that extensive list on your site. I was, at bh365.org. I was quite impressed. Listen, I want to make sure I get the title right. I don't. I think I just introduced it as Black History, but it's actually Black History 365, an inclusive
correct.
Account of American history. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, we landed on 365 because many times people view Black History Month as the main time to talk about Black history. But we decided that this is something that is an inclusive account of American history. That's the subtitle. And we also quote from a gentleman on the back cover. He's a quote on the back cover. His name is James Baldwin. He said, "American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it." And that's really, when Walter and I saw that quote, we just said, that's got to be on the cover. Because that encapsulates what we have done.
Absolutely.
I have to say, as a matter of fact, Dr. Milton, I was going to ask you, being, you know, of course, an educator as you are, you know, and being out in the school system, how did that play a part? Because I just imagine that you were close, you know, you were real, you know, you had a real front row seat to what the kids needed, you know, to what the students needed to learn. So I'm going to ask you, how did that play a part, or did it play a part in how you kind of, you know, decided to come up with this idea that you guys have, you know, worked on?
Well, it played a major part. What I saw in my years of education and what I still see now in working with school systems across the country is that there's a direct correlation with the lack of culturally competent instruction and educational approaches to the negative impact that has on student achievement. We also discovered that the lack of historical content has been a significant influence, sir, of negative outcomes for black students and communities, including lack of self-awareness, lack of self-esteem, lack of intrinsic motivation, decreased academic achievement, truancy, discipline referrals, and even some cases, some criminal activity. Because what we found when our young people, not only black children, but all children, when they have an understanding of who they are, where they came from, and the impact that their ancestors have made on this world, it just increases all the negative things to turn right into the positives because we make that connection. And so what we found and discovered that the world, particularly America, is begging for something like this because of the past, our history that we have and how those things still impact us to this day. So we wanted to really look at those things. We really wanted to look at the whole impact of the incarceration system and how that connected to education. And what we found is that there's this critical gap. And we believe that we have a solution for this gap. One of the things that we really focus on, and Joe will probably talk about that a little later, I'll just introduce the concept, but we said we need to develop critical thinkers, compassionate listeners, fact-based, respectful communicators, and action-oriented solutions. And we believe that BH365 will serve as an impetus to make that happen and to make our world a better place here in America and to bring about a great deal of healing because we clarify things and misconceptions that we've been operating on for many years.
Just, I'm blown away. And I have to say, Dr. Milton, and I was really touched, and I know we're here, we're going to absolutely get into every single aspect of Black History 365, you guys' new book, which is being used in the schools. But I have to draw some attention to when I came across one of your earlier books that talked about this. The title is A Matter of Life or Death, Why Black Men Must Save Black Boys in America's Public Schools. And I know you've written a couple of books, but that was, I read a little bit of the synopsis, and I was just very impressed. So thank you for all the work that you are doing, that both of you are doing on this incredible, incredible topic that, believe me, even, you know, I could put this on every day, you know, for years, and it would still just be scraping the surface of what needs to be done, but it's a wonderful thing to do as much research, and you guys can hear it. You've done a lot of research. I see the work, and it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible, so thank you both for that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, well, very much welcome. Well, listen, if you guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It's my pleasure to welcome these two incredible educators to Hair Radio. And Dr. Joel A. Freeman, he's been with us before. We're so excited to welcome him back. It's been 5 years. And he's joined, of course, or we're joined with Dr. Walter Milton, Jr., who we're also excited, a New Yorker, a fellow New Yorker, to the broadcast. And now, Dr. Freeman, you're in Maryland area, correct? Aren't you still out in Maryland?
Yes, not far from Annapolis.
Okay. And so we have a lot to talk about because just trying to catch everybody up a little bit. And then I have some more questions for you, Dr. Milton. But just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Dr. Freeman, I recall that you started off early on and you were a chaplain for, wasn't it the NBA? And you did all these amazing things and just had such a I think it was, well, what seemed on that interview, just a deep understanding for folks at an early age. And that's what I got from that. And I was just quite impressed and went on to create that whole space with all these artifacts that you have that chronicle the lives of folks all the way to Africa and here. And so I'm just very impressed and, you know, just happy to have you here. So what can you tell us about your collection these days? Anything? Of course, we've got your book, which is going to be a big part of that, Black History 365. But what else can you tell us about the collection that you have amassed all of this? And I know you have pictures inside the book, inside of Black History 365.
Yes. Yeah, it's a big part of the book and a big part of, I think, the contribution, because it's exclusively available to the book, the images. Wow. There's now over 4,000 high-resolution images.
Amazing.
And anyone who tries to put together something like this without images, it's just very difficult. And what people, when we went to the printers in Ohio who manufactured this book, one of the young men, I don't know how long he'd been working there, but maybe a decade or two or close, 15 years maybe, and we were just talking with him, and he says, yeah, he says, when I came in this morning, I thought I was working on a National Geographic project. and so the collection is made up of over 3,000 items. We've done two exhibits at the United Nations. We had over 1 million visitors. I've done three in concert with the White House. I've done two at the Clinton Presidential Library. Done a number with Secret Service at their headquarters in D.C. and a number of other venues around the country. And it's just been wonderful. And when Walter called me about this project, I didn't have to think about it because I knew intuitively that I had been building this collection, and it's perfect for a curriculum in terms of the types of items. I would pass over 200 items to get to that 201st item that would help tell the story. And so I was very selective about the items that I collected and brought together. So it's kind of a unique type of collection, and I think when people get the textbook and they start looking at the images, especially the first two units, because the first two units are about ancient Africa and slavery and the slave trade. So I have a number of items. For instance, I have one item when I was in Elmina Castle in Ghana on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And I met with the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set of shackles, an actual set of shackles from Elmina Castle. And I was truly humbled and honored by that, because I don't think they did that very often.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of stories behind many of the pieces of the collection. Just had over 75 given to me, and had to acquire a lot of things myself. But this gentleman, his father worked for TWA Airlines.
Well, so did I. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yes, small world.
So he was responsible for all the continent of Africa back in the 40s and I think 50s, right in that range. And he had, of course, working in the airline and into Africa, he had many people sourcing original artifacts. We're not talking about stuff for tourists. I mean, original, like doors on a chief's hut, and shackles and masks and figurines and all sorts of items. Well, his dad passed away. Of course, his dad, working at the airline, could ship it back to California.
Sure.
And when he passed away, my friend told me, he said, I'm going to make sure that there's a number of these that are in your collection. He had this sense of urgency, and my friend Pat passed away about 3 months ago, he had this urgency to get these items to me, and he wasn't even sick, just had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. And so I feel very honored, and am holding those items very carefully, and we have some of them pictured in the textbook in honor of him and his family.
Wow, that's very nice. I have to say, just when I look at this amazing book, Black History 365, and you mentioned 1,248 pages, I have to wonder about the schools. Like, how have the folks received this book, the textbook? Dr. Milton, let's ask you that. How has it been received by the teachers and the students for that much?
They have received the book extremely well. Many of them are not only saying that this is for 9th through 12th grade students, many of them are saying this engages all ages. This should be a book that's in every household across this country, in particular, and in general across the world, because it has so many features. It really does. Also, Morehouse College down in Atlanta is going to be one of the first colleges launching the textbook in January. We are also in a conversation with Hampton University in Virginia that's going to do that. And then we have had a number of people who have purchased personal copies of the textbook. So we believe that it has this book throughout the pages. It's a healing mechanism. I just want to quickly go back, if you can indulge me for a quick second,
sure.
To talk about these images. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with Joel, but it was an extremely tedious task to find the images. And he, like he said, he would go through 200 images just to get to that 201 to say, hey, this is it here. I mean, it wasn't anything that was easily done. I mean, it was arduous and it was daunting. And in some cases, I saw and felt the pain that he went through just to make sure that it was beyond excellent. Because the images not only tell a story, the images bring the words alive of that book.
Wow. I'm blown away. I love as you respond to this and you're just painting an amazing picture of Black History 365. Now, how do folks find this book, Dr. Milton? How do folks get their hands on a personal copy or an edition for, you know, like you said, it should be in every household?
Absolutely. Well, we're asking the world to go to bh365.org. That's bh365.org. And one of the major features that we have in the book, besides the many QR codes, because we wanted to have a strong integration of technology, we've also embedded music in the book from award-winning Grammy producer by the name of Dr. Kevin Cates, affectionately known as Kale. And K.O. has developed 40 songs. He's a producer for Jay-Z, T.I., Rick Ross, Drake, Snoop Dogg, and a host of others. So we have an expert who has put together amazing songs, and he got the words from the text. And they are just powerful. I mean, they will bring tears to your eyes.
Is this kind of like a soundtrack for the book?
Yes, you can definitely say that. And as Joel said, we have a Hamilton in the making.
I see.
I call it an anthology of Black history, because basically what we've done is, you know, he's doing a song for each chapter, lifting lyrics from the text itself and the concepts surrounding the text. And so you start in ancient Africa and bring it all the way up to George Floyd, some of the things that are happening in our culture today. It's like ripping pages out of the headlines, the way we've done it. And then we have an ebook version that is available, and so that will allow us to even add more items, you know, as things happen in our culture, so that we can continue to keep it updated in the ebook version.
And that's important, right, always to make sure that, I keep going back to, I forget whose book it was, but I like that word living, like living history. It just keeps on going, and I love that. I have to tell you, this is just amazing. We're talking with the authors of this amazing book, the folks behind Black History 365, this amazing, incredible book. We're talking with Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton, Jr., so we're real excited to have them with us today. 1,248 pages. This is a huge book, but it is packed with so much information and knowledge that we need. And I can't say it enough. I really can't. I think this is a game changer out there. Dr. Freeman, why was this so necessary, though? You know, there are tons of books, folks will say, you know, I saw the books that were out there when I was in school, and those history books seem just fine. What do you say to folks who say something like that, Dr. Freeman?
Well, every time there is a racially charged incident in America, there are some very smart people, passionate people who get on TV. You know, we affectionately call them talking heads. And you can almost, if you're running a betting game, you could bet that someone's going to say, in so many words, we need to have a national conversation around the topic of race relations in America. And one gets the sense that 3 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, perhaps that same person will be saying the same thing. And you know, people protest in different ways. We have comedians who use comedy expertly to protest. Some write books. Some will write poetry. We remember the protest songs of the 60s and the protesting in rap music and hip-hop music. And some protest by demonstrating, marching. The way Walter and I protest is by putting in the 2.5 years, 12, 16-hour days to come up with a solution to the education gap in America. Our protest is we look at it in terms of a solutionist approach so that we can start these conversations. So we have something in the textbook that is proprietary to BH365, is we have something called the Elephant Experience. Now, the Elephant Experience, and we could spend a whole show just talking about the Elephant Experience, but it's a whole idea of, okay, we have these topics that people don't like talking about. It's uncomfortable. And topics that cause some people to talk at or past each other. Some people block each other on Facebook or other types of social media. And so what Walter and I wanted to do is to come up with a process. Cause why an elephant? You know, connection with Africa. Hey, there's an elephant in the room. Probably your favorite joke in second grade was, how do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time, one bite at a time. So there has to be a process, a schema, a methodology for dealing with the elephant. And then, of course, the hippocampus of an elephant is extremely large. And their EQ matches and rivals that of chimpanzees and some species of dolphins. So it has to be something that's sticky, something that is that engages, not just momentarily, but for the long term. So that's what we did. So topics such as 3/5 of a human being, Uncle Tom, the N-word, reparations. Are we in a post-racial society after having a black president for 2 terms? Can a white person ever truly understand the black experience in America? Scientific racism, lynching, and should we tear the statues down? Things like that, topics like that, that we have a certain process that is a healing process, not a divisive process, where students can be where we have professional development trainers that train the teachers in setting the environment so the students can create an environment that allows for these topics to be dealt with in a way that is beneficial. And where there there's a binary choice, we have QR codes that provide the pro and the con, you know, the for and against views. And so it invites people outside of their confirmation bias bubbles and gets them into a realm where they begin to see the other side and or at least hear the other side. And then using the Socratic method, the students engage around it and come up with individual or perhaps even collective understanding about something. So to get back to your original question, the need for something like this, And the response we're getting from principals, from educators, from superintendents, from people who have, from, you know, historians. I was talking with a historian the other day, and he was saying he's up to page 500 already.
Oh, wow.
In the textbook.
Wow.
And he was saying that he was just delighted. He said, oh, my goodness. He's checking out the QR codes. He's engaging with it. And he just said, I just cannot believe a resource like this is finally available. This is what I've been talking about all my life, and a resource like this.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when it comes to the distinctives, we believe that we have something that is very uniquely crafted. It's designed for healing. It's truth-centric. It's, you know, it has the music attached to it. It has QR codes, so it's engaging with technology. We started in ancient Africa, so we're not reinforcing implicitly or explicitly the notion that Black history started slavery. So we bring all these elements together that we've discussed, and we brought it into one textbook. Now, you know, we're also planning to create a K through 8, so K2, 3, 5, 6, 8 grade bands. Those are coming. And we're using the 9 through 12 textbook, which, by the way, engages all ages. We're using that backbone information to then be contextualized in the 6 through 8, 3 through 5, and K through 2 programs. So now, getting back to what I was, how I started this response, now we're starting to get people, to kids, to start talking about the tough topics in a contextualized manner from kindergarten on. And hopefully we'll be able to measure results with the students, the teachers, and perhaps even the parents. And, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years, 12 years from now, to see what kind of impact this can have on our society that is so polarized politically, and to really get people to engage using, coming through the lens and the gateway of history, which an inclusive account of a history, so that we can somehow see healing happen in our country.
I totally agree. I was thinking as you were just explaining that, I'm thinking to myself as well, you know, that's the thing. We are all, you know, when we look back at how when we were in school and taught history, and it really does, I hate to say, but it really, that's kind of where you, what you get is, you know, you know, for Black history, anything that's relating to Black culture, it's usually starting with slavery. And so I so appreciate what you have just described in Black History 365. I so appreciate it because just to be able to connect back to Africa and just see a place in, you know, how, you know, folks of Black descent just African descent, rather, just figure into everything. So it's amazing to me, and I have I'm kind of blown away just to talk to you about it. So I'm excited for folks to get their hands on Black History 365. It is important. It's an important book. So what else is there out there? You and Dr. Milton, as you mentioned, there is music involved in all of this as well. Can I get my hands on some of this so I can play some of those songs on the Hair Radio Morning Show? We'd love to get some of those music files over here.
Well, it's awesome. It's probably, the music is so good, and I can't wait till you hear it. And I think that maybe Joe and I could send you a demo copy for your ears only.
Okay.
Because it's going through the process of being produced and recorded, and so we're going through all the legal aspects of that. But in the meantime, we can give you something that you can look forward to coming out. And I think that we would love to have you once we get the green light to play it on your show, because it's going to be a Grammy award producing. Set of music, and I give all the accolades to God first, but I give them to K.O., who was used by God to do this, to do this work. I mean, the music is incredible, and as the kids say, it is highly dope. So
Awesome.
So I think that, yeah, you're going to love it. You really are. And, you know, Joel and I are just so honored that you allowed us to be here today to share this, one of the most passionate things in our lives, you know, Black history. And Joel talked about us being utilized as a vessel. You know, we had many moments that we worked throughout the day, and we'll talk, you know, how do we get here? How do we do this? Where did this come from? And we just know that this was all divinely inspired. It really was.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I want to just, before we close out on this part today, I definitely want to just make sure everybody is aware of, again, how to get their hands on Black History 365, your website. Please give us that again. You know, Dr. Freeman, Dr. Milton, please tell everybody how to get their hands on this amazing book.
Yes, BH365.org. BH365.org.
Okay, and that is just awesome. And we're real happy about that. Yes, indeed. And also, just to let everybody know that you guys, this is not the end of Black History 365 on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm so happy and honored that you guys are here. You know, we're announcing right now just an interview arc where we're going to have a few shows at this time, and then we're going to roll out something long-term that kind of can, you know, take parts of this amazing book. We're going to say Black History 365 is the name, and we're going to cover it a little bit more in depth. We wanted to just kind of do a quick introduction, if you will, and talk about some of the things that are inside of this amazing book. And I've got to tell you, we're going to be able to get into some of, before I let you guys go today, we're going to tease this because I want to get your opinion of things that are happening today and how you can tie them to Black History 365, Black History 365, and I know that you can. And we're going to have that a little later for you guys, or we'll put it on our website as well. So that's just a nice little tidbit that we'll get into a little later. But first, again, I want to thank you. Before we go, Dr. Freeman, why don't we start with you? Is there any last thoughts or anything you want to kind of close out this portion today of our interview? Anything you want to leave us with? Like those amazing sayings that you used to have. You used to give us all these wonderful sayings that I always love. Yeah, anything that you want to tell us today?
Well, I think that the main thing I wanted to, that comes to my mind right now is that this textbook is transcendent. You know, as we say in the subtitle, an inclusive account of American history.
Inclusive.
And so the whole idea of the term inclusive, I want everyone who's listening to realize that this is an opportunity to engage all ethnicities and ages, you know, in terms of young and older generations, different backgrounds. Some are come from more urban areas and some come from more rural areas, socioeconomic aspects. We've tried to include everything. Plus, when it comes to STEAM or STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and I like to put in arts and then M for mathematics, we've provided different aspects. Sorry?
No, I was saying yours is STEAM, not just STEM.
Yeah.
STEAM, like that.
That's right, STEAM. There's STEM and STEAM, and I prefer STEAM. But it's so if people are looking for this to engage on all aspects, you know, we have some very interesting topics. I was talking with someone just recently, and she was saying that she says, "Well, I'm an educator," and she said, "My response to this once I started looking at it is I don't really know that much," and we don't want that to be the takeaway. But we want it to be the incentive that when people approach this topic, you know, and we talk about the Great Migration to the North and then to the West, you know, that it, all the different topics, the Harlem Renaissance, and we even have a whole section in there, Carrie, that I think you'll love, is what about taking back the hair care and beauty industry?
Well, that's coming up in our next segment.
We have a whole section
on that
in the textbook.
I'll
spring
that on you a little later. Yeah.
So that's on my mind. That's all. It's the inclusive nature of the textbook. Walter?
Textbook 365.
Well,
yes,
I just wanted to say we didn't have an opportunity to talk about our advisory board, but hopefully we can do that next time we come back on. We have incredible people like Kathy Hughes, Benjamin Crump.
All my favorite folks. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Agabriar Bryson, the great-nephew of Annie Malone.
Yeah.
You'll know
yeah.
Annie Malone. Joel has done a lot of extensive work regarding her and a host of other wonderful people. But I want to leave with celebrating you, Carrie, because I know that you bring so many people, you give so many accolades, you know, through your work. But I want to give you an accolade. You know, just my short time of knowing you and hearing about you and researching you as well, you are truly a merchant of hope. You carry hope for so many people's lives, you know, and I can hear that hope in your voice, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And I just want to wish you the best always.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. It means a lot. I appreciate that. And I have to tell you, when I hear those names and, you know, Kathy Hughes, she's been my, you know, starting out in radio and being one of my favorite folks in radio. And back when I didn't see many folks who are African-American doing that and just being such a big forerunner out there, I'm just blown away. And Benjamin Crump has been on my show. He's been on our broadcast just like you guys. And so I had a chance to chat with him, of course. And even Akbar, I think the gentleman, I've chatted with him as well. So, and Annie Malone, all of this comes full circle. So I just have to say I'm blown away. And again, I want to thank you guys personally. This book is important, Black History 365. The website is bh365.org. You need to get a copy of this book. And we're going to make sure that you do that. And if you need to be put in touch, and I got to say this last thing, Dr. Freeman, I have to say, I had told everybody, I'd put it out on Facebook that you were coming back to the show, and I posted all this about Black History 365, the book and the picture and all of that. And my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, who the listeners out there know, he's been with us many times. He's a trained economist and all of this. He's deep in history, studying all of this. And he rarely, you know, pipes up to ask me about anything. You know, he sees my radio show, you know, guests from time to time. This is the only time he said, you must introduce me to Dr. Freeman. He didn't know about you at that time, Dr. Milpin.
No, I'm okay.
And I said, I kid you not. He said to make sure. So I said, well, when I speak with you, I'm going to get your permission, but I'm going to introduce him to you guys. Because I think that he's, Dr. Leroy Hines, he's been out there, and as I said, the listeners know, he always comes on and gives us all kind of, you know, in terms of current affairs and all that wonderful good stuff. But I have to say, I think he's definitely, you guys, you're definitely going to have a great time. That's all I can say. This is amazing work. So thank you so much. And you guys out there are going to have to stay tuned for the next part of this episodal arc with these amazing guys. Again, it's my pleasure to thank Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milpin Jr. for being part of this broadcast today. Again, the book is Black History 365. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live on this Thursday morning. It's February 24th of 2022, and it is my great pleasure and honor to welcome you guys again mid-show today. We've got a really great broadcast, as you've been listening and paying attention to this morning. Here in New York, it's actually gotten a little bit cooler. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But I really want to get into this on this broadcast, again, number 678. You guys know Mary Reed Johnson. She's been with us many times. And I think this particular piece that we have now, Mary and I sat down. She really is quite an interesting interviewee, as you guys know. But this was the very first time that I've allowed her to turn the tables. So she really has decided to ask me some very interesting questions. I think you're going to be surprised at some of my responses today. So really want you to pay attention. Coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, we have the Cookie Man, I call him. But you might know him much better as one of the musicians. He's a hit musician, not just the regular, you know, music guy. This man has played on a whole bunch of hit records that I'm sure you will easily recognize. So we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock this morning or so. But right now, this is, again, a rare look. I call it episode one of Listening Back, because that's what it really is. My intention was not to reveal so much, if you will, but I couldn't help it. So this is really I think you guys are going to find it revealing. And so take a listen. We'll talk on the other side and so much more this morning on this Thursday, February 24th of 2022.
I was just thinking, and, you know, that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, the Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media. And they had something with Robert Townsend and Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Tamu Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people. In my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections. That I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hine.
Mary, just to even hear you speak of me like that is just, I can't even begin to tell you how profound that is. And when you mentioned folks like Byron Allen, I caught the tail end of that about Byron Allen. And I, on this amazing Sunday news program that I watch, and I'm going to Google it so I can see the whole piece, because I'm so motivated by individuals like Mr. Allen and so many others who demand to be treated with respect and demand that our community is respected with regards to broadcasting and communication and recognizing the talents and contribute, you know, what we've contributed. And so I'm all in. And I also want to extend the same kind of greeting to you and what you've been able to accomplish, Mary Reed Johnson, and with Hair, Head, Heart. So thank you. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways that we can start, but I'm thinking I'll start with kind of the 6 degrees of separation because I know you've had some of these topics and you've addressed them before they were, you know, addressed by, you know, some names that, you know, may have ties with whatever media source. And so let's maybe start with one. Let's talk about Cosby. And, you know, the show that you did, how did you come up with the idea to even approach that? And this was, you know, light years. I know who Kamu Bell is, of course, but light years before this project was going, I think you had already addressed it. I mean, it went as it was unfolding. So how did you even come up with that, you know, feeling that pulse that maybe it needed to have a discussion?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much. And I just want to preface all this by saying I don't know where Mary is going with whatever she wants to know, but the annals are open, our archives are open, and I told her she has free rein to ask me anything that she wishes for you guys to know. So I'm glad you mentioned this. We did a piece called About Cosby and talking about Cosby. And I remember the graphic and the whole idea. And I had this inspiration from, you know, let me preface everything by saying let's go back to listen back for a moment on this, because a lot of what we do at Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show is steeped in coverage or revisiting topics and things that might make the general broadcast media a tad on the uncomfortable side. And it's not meant to do that. It's not designed to do that. It is for us to be able to be offer a bit of realism to the Black experience. And we welcome everybody to that experience. Doesn't matter who you are, what race or nationality or any of that stuff. But we wanted to take a look. I noticed for the most part that when I look at media, I see a divide. I see that there is a way that it appears to me anyway, that you know, folks outside of our community, you know, will listen or view discussions or topics or what have you, and folks that are inside of our community will view and listen and weigh in on different topics. And it can be largely said, of course, folks with shared experiences tend to have similar beliefs and all of that. So I can understand that. And folks outside of the community are looking inside or looking from the outside to what they perceive to be how we are. So that's kind of how that is. So when you are telling a story, whether it's my show or the general media out there, you're telling it from that perspective. And if you don't have folks from this community, from our community, being part of those stories being told, well, they're not going to really tell it with
the kind of real cultural connection that it needs to have. I'll give you a quick case in point, then I'll circle back to your question about Cosby. I was watching, like during the month of February, you'll always hear of Black History Month, and that's all wonderful and great. But I noticed a lot on local news, whenever that month comes around, and this is a good lesson for any time that you're listening to this wonderful piece today, but what I've noticed is that oftentimes the discourse or what the local news is doing, they're not really telling you stories about Black history. They will take a story about a person, a Black person of note, who might now be running a cookie stand or whatever, and they will talk about that on their newscast and then put the moniker or the banner up there, Black History Month or what have you, when the real truth is all that they are doing is doing what they should be doing anyway, which is inclusivity about African Americans, just like other cultures should be represented. And so, but the thing is, it's not Black history. It's Black people, yep. But it's not really Black history. If you want to talk about the what the contributions of our ancestors have done for America, then talk about that. But you're not, they think that just by showing Black people and putting the banner Black, that already tells me who's in your newsroom and what your discourse is doing and where there's a disconnection. So I don't want to be part of that, which is not organic for me. I want an organic experience each morning, and I want that experience to be shared by the folks who tune in. So there are, I've never wanted to just, just to look at the shows and even if they have Black people on their newscast, I'll tell you, there's not an organic feeling for me. It's just, I see folks, and my favorite one is where you'll have folks who may be Black, where folks outside the community look and they think they're kind of maybe not Black, and I'm looking at them thinking that they kind of might be Black, and somebody else is, because it's like I call them real, invisible kind of, that can fit into anybody's mind.
It's a commitment to whether it's community or colorization or perspective or heart, all of those, are things that you can, paint and make it seem like XYZ, even though in reality it's not too hard to scratch that surface and see the reality, which is that, more than 98% of the media comes from an exclusive source. We'll just put it that way.
Exactly.
And so this is not a new story, but what I like about Hair Radio Network and what you do, Carrie, is that you are more genuine and don't seem to be afraid to have whomever, whatever story, and it's their story, you invite them to present it, and I think that's very healthy. And again, it's not like your first time at the rodeo. You've been doing this for 29 years or thereabouts? How long have you been?
Somewhere around there. we'll park it on that one. That's a good number to park it on.
Okay.
But Mary, I do in closing on that, I do want to just mention that, my whole point was that you have these different newsrooms locally who generally don't include folks of, I don't see it with my eyes so much, especially here in my market, with the darker hues. And but what I will find are folks who are totally the opposite, where it's not inclusive. And you feel that when you look at these things. And this is something that seems to be missing across the board, generally speaking. Now, when it comes to the Cosby conversation, that was my whole reason for thinking about Cosby, first of all, because when I thought about this and had the inspiration, it was from he had just been sent off to prison. You could see in the news coverage that to say it was slanted is like is the understatement of the year. And so it was in the midst of all of the you know, the confrontations.
Me Too moment.
The Me Too type movement and all of these things bubbling up to the surface. But there was a tinge of, of other conversations that seemed to be the discourse that they were trying to bring to the surface, and that was color. And so with Bill Cosby's story, and again, he had just been sent off to prison, and the negative onslaught, and this is not to discuss whether or not he's innocent, as far as I'm concerned, or guilty. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the from my perspective, the lens was very different from what seemed to be, again, the folks inside versus outside the community. So as we moved along with his story that we've been kind of brought into this with local news media and the coverage of it, I just kind of thought that it was time to visit this after he had been away for some time, incarcerated. So I thought it was a good time that we should brush off this story that seemed to be, as far as the discourse I got from the media, was to lock him up, throw away the key.
Right. And, well, I thought, and again, not to say whether he's guilty or innocent, I mean, everybody's guilty of something. Everybody, you know, just being responsible for your actions, whether you positioned yourself in someone's lair or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to retry that. But I also want to look at the concept of character assassination, and I want to look at the stereotypes, and I want to look at people being responsible and not responsible, on and on and on. There's just a myriad of directions we could go. But for him, one of the things that I would say, because you mentioned colorization, he was the first one, like they can pinpoint that this was the first leading black actor. He wasn't a subservient. He wasn't a lackey, whatever. He had equal footing with his co-actor, I guess, in I Spy, Robert Culp, right? They had equal roles, basically, and, you know, a little trendy. But he actually saw somebody being painted up in blackface who was going to be his stunt double for whatever episode, and he stood up and he's like, well, I'm thinking there's somebody who you could get who's already black, you know, that type of thing. So he opened up the door for that. He opened up the door for actors of all hues and all ages. You know, he did a lot of good. So to say that he's an imperfect person, I'm not necessarily shocked. I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't acting in some cultural ways that were accepted at the time. But the punishment and the crime don't seem to fit. I'm not going to judge that, but I'm looking at the good that he did as a black man in a very I want to say disadvantaged, but an unequal setting, and he still stood up and he still did good and right things, just like Hazel Scott. And, you know, we have more than one, but he had his longevity and the numbers of paths that he opened up for other people, clean comedians, you know, all kinds of things. I think that those just shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. You can't undo the good that he did, you know. So I think if people take a listen to that discussion, I think they will be reminded of all the layers that go into being a celebrity and all the layers that go into being a black celebrity, and even the more layers and amounts of courage that it takes to be a black celebrity who recognizes that you do have some power and to use it properly. When I say properly, I mean for the positive of mankind or, you know, humanitarian efforts. And, you know, they could have totally just blown him away and, you know, we never heard of who Bill Cosby was again, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, I applaud you for giving him some space and having a discussion about, you know, the good and the bad. So I just
exactly.
wondered where it came from. Yeah.
And Mary, that is to just to end that, but that's exactly what happened. We wanted to take a look, and someone needed to mention the contributions. I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up looking at every corner, and there's Temple University, and there is, you know, a very there's a very deep, profound feeling that you know Bill Cosby, that he's connected to, he's from Philly, he's connected to Philly, and this was, for all of us, we had that kind of pride. But the thing that really resonated was that he has done so much in the education sphere. And so, so yes, again, this is not to try guilty. We don't know. I don't know. Don't even, that's not my thing. I'm able to make that discernment about being able to see if to really look at the good. And that is something that is incredibly important. So, Mary, thank you for that. Oh, boy, I love, boy, you just opened up with a bang this morning. Okay.
Well, it's your show. I have
wow.
to, I know that you have it, and I know that people need to know about it. So where did you come up with some of your titles for Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you've got the network. Right? You've got
yes.
the show. You have just a variety of parts of your brand. So expand
yes.
on some of, you know, how one part of your brand led to the next part.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Mary, because folks are, sometimes they can, you know, we have similar titles with everything, and everything is radio and hair, and you're not sure if you're listening to the radio show or a recorded podcast or the live show or a 24-hour network. So we have all the above, and let me just tell you, I'm so pleased that you ask it this way, because it started out as the Hair Radio Show, and Hair Radio at that time was one word, so it was H-A-I-R-A-D-I-O. It was the Hair Radio Show, so it was literally three words. Hair Radio was a made-up word. I later down the road separated it, but at that time it was HAI Radio, the Hair Radio Show, and so no one could find it. So I said, okay, I got to separate the word hair from radio at that time in terms of the broadcast, and we started out of Newark, New Jersey on the station WNJR, which was located in downtown Newark, New Jersey, and that's on AM radio, so it's called AM and FM radio. It's called terrestrial radio. So I started on terrestrial radio. Folks, you know, these days they start on the internet. They're starting on the podcast.
Right, right.
I predated all of that. So I started on an AM station with the Hair Radio Show. And that was a fluke. I had already been producing radio shows. I started with a show on the West Coast for kids. And then came back to the East Coast and started a
Go back to that. Was that the Fuzzy Bear?
Well, it was actually, it was our version. It was my own thought. It was called Fluff the Bear. Fluff the Bear
Fluff,
was, and I'll tell you that story too. It's a very interesting story. But I have to say it really was the beginning of my whole journey. So, and I've never really told this story, and then I'll circle back to why and how we got to Hair Radio and the names and all of that. But yes, when I moved out to California, because I'm from Philadelphia, folks, again, just as a reminder as I just mentioned, I'm from Philly. And so I went out to the West Coast, to L.A., to Los Angeles, to just kind of, you know, get out to the sunshine. I'd always wanted to. I'd traveled there many times working in the airlines. I said, let me give it a try. So I moved out to the West Coast back in the 90s. and started work for one of the major airlines, a legacy airline carrier, which is, means one of the old big-time airlines, and got with my coworkers, and I was inspired to create a children's character, and I was inspired by one of my friends who went to this super expensive school that you guys on the West Coast, all of my friends out in California, you know this school, it's USC. And there weren't a whole lot of, you know, wealthy black kids out there who were going to U.S. You know, you had to have money, essentially, was my take on the folks, the kids that went to USC at the time. And so my friend, who was ironically from New Jersey also, here on the East Coast, that I met out there in L.A., and so shouting out the folks in Hackensack, New Jersey. So my friend John and I got to talk with John. John wrote, I was so proud of him. I'd never met anybody around my age who worked for Billboard magazine on the West Coast out in L.A., which produces the Hollywood Reporter newspaper even to this day. They're still the same people on Wilshire Boulevard, which I lived off of Wilshire in L.A. And so John was working for, Billboard magazine. And he had been, they paid him extra, I guess, because he was already working there, to interview Queen Latifah. So I'm looking at
who?
His article, Queen Latifah. She's an actress and rapper from, yes. She's still out there doing a lot of things. And this was in the 90s, and Queen Latifah was mainly a rap superstar at that time. And so they put him in Billboard magazine with this huge picture, and it's still available on the internet too, by the way, this article that he did. And so I was so proud of John. I was like so proud. And I said, if John, now John was also going to school at USC, as I mentioned. And so I was like, wow, if he can do this, there's got to be something I can do. And so I went into, out in L.A., they have the apartment. And out there, it's a little different than here where I am in Brooklyn, New York, and probably out there where you are as well, Mary. But on the West Coast, out in L.A., the apartments all have like a little dressing room. So you may have, you've got a bathroom, and then you have a separate dressing room, which usually your bathroom lets into, and then you go into the rest of your apartment. Those were many of the apartments. You folks out there in L.A. know what I'm talking about. Well, that's very different here. I have never been into an apartment or even a house or anything on the East Coast that has a separate dressing room like that, unless you've got a mansion somewhere. So mm-hmm. out there, that was the typical, all these old apartments have that. So I went into my dressing room in Los Angeles and recorded a children's show. I just said, you know what, let me just, I literally, in those days, you'd have a tape recorder. And I took a tape recorder and just told the story of something that was off the top of my head. And I made up a story being so influenced by, and I'll say that influence was from Winnie the Pooh, obviously, when I was a kid,
right.
That my mom bought me those stories. So I came up with the idea of Fluff the Bear. I never made that connection at the time, but looking back, and as we are now listening back, but yeah, I created the Fluff the Bear story on an audio tape, audio cassette for you guys from the last century. The last couple
Thank
centuries.
You.
So I created a story called Fluff the Bear, in which I was telling the story of a little child, a bear, who has great friends, or these two little friends, and he went on a journey to fall asleep. So that was the whole story. Mm. That was the crux. Remember, it's for kids. You don't have to make it War and Peace. It just has to make sense. To the little ones. And we didn't really talk down to them. We enjoyed telling a story that the whole family could listen to. And so I took this idea to my colleagues at the airline, and the airline allowed us, supported us. They did a big article of me in their magazine, their aircraft airplane magazine. So you guys
know
the
airplane. Oh, I remember those, yes.
You remember the back seats of each airline, you know, you
yes.
sit there and pull up. Well, I was on page three. I'll never forget it for that month. And along with my colleagues at the airline. So we would voice the stories. And that led to so many other things. But largely, they had a plaque of me on the airline wall of my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. So the magazine. They had the picture, which I'll share with everybody. I put it on social media. I'll put it on our website at hairradio.com for everybody. But what was so astonishing is that no other employee had a plaque on the wall at the airline except me. And when I would fly on the airplane, you know, I would travel back from L.A. to my home, my family and stuff on the East Coast. They would announce that I was on the airplane and to turn to page three so they could read the article, and everybody would clap on the airplane. Well, that did it for me. That did it for me. So that's how I kind of that kind of really brought me into it. And, you know, to think, and so I thank John for inspiring me to create Fluff the Bear. That went on to the success at the airline. And then the big news is, the airline wanted me to develop audio content for the airplane for children. So that
oh, wow.
led me to go to end up on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. At the same building where Atlantic Records was at the time. You guys, you know, may remember Atlantic Records. So I went out mm-hmm. to that building and because somehow I got connected with a public relations firm. Back in those days, I didn't know PR. I didn't know what a publicist was like anybody else. I was just like, you know, just going through life. And so I got connected with a public relations firm. And I remember going in that building and on the elevator looking out and seeing Atlantic Records on one of the floors on Sunset and going up to the PR firm. And there were no black faces. Let me just be honest with everybody. There were none. And I sat in the conference room. They all came in, and they connected me with an outfit that took radio. They had their own radio network, which I still remember. And they took my children's cassette idea, my children's cassette, and turned it into a radio commercial. And they put that mm-hmm. commercial of my cassette onto 875 stations advertisements. So we were in
wow.
875 markets talking about Fluff the Bear cassettes and the commercial, you know, the radio show and the, you know, get your own commercial. I'm sorry, get your own, buy your own cassette. So that was my first time being out in 875 markets at the beginning of this and the 90s. And so from there, I was discovered in part by, I took that and turned it into a weekly theater show. And the gentleman who was one of the stars of the Amos and Andy TV show, now remember this is Los Angeles, he had
wow.
opened up and created a very respected live performing theater called the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And he was there with his wife and his daughter Valerie. And his name was Nicholas Stewart, was one of the stars of Amos and Andy. So I went to the theater. He loved me. They loved me there. And I got to know his family. And he allowed me to put on a Fluff the Bear live performing show on Saturdays. And that's what I did. So I had the radio show. By the way, the public relations firm introduced me to a radio station out in Glendale, California. So I was able to put on the very first radio show that was on that in LA anyway at 7:30 in the evening called the Fluff the Bear radio show. And from there, that was all running kind of simultaneously with the theater show from Nick Stewart called, again, the Ebony Showcase Theater. What I loved about Ebony Showcase Theater, and again, you mentioned about the 6 degrees, is that one of the board of trustees, Nick Stewart had all these black celebrities as trustees of his theater, his board of trustees. And one of those individuals was, of course, guess who? Bill Cosby.
Bill. Oh, my.
Bill Cosby. So There you go, Miss Mary.
Wow. Now we're listening to Hair Radio Network. Or which one are, where are we? Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well,
which degree are we in right now, Gary?
Well, that's the thing. And I wanted to spell out the beginning. So that's how the Hair Radio Show had started. So I got that impetus when I returned back home. I took the success from all those cassette sales, moved back to the East Coast, and opened up office space in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's where I had my own staff. I had all kinds of folks helping me at that time, with two assistants, and again, upstairs in Newark. It was really nice. Now, so I created the Hair Radio Show at that time. And the Hair Radio Show was really just the idea of taking, I thought I would just have a hairstylist or two give out some hair tips, and that would be it. So I assembled a staff. Most folks don't know that I didn't host the first Hair Radio Show, even on my own production.
Well,
I had taken four hairstylists. Two were doing what in those days we called natural hair, which is what it is, still is, but they would do like locks and twists. That's what they were known for in Orange, New Jersey. And one lady, she was in Montclair, New Jersey, and she would talk about like the cosmetology side of hair care. Mm-hmm. And then I had another gentleman who was a barber, but I think he also did like natural hair, but he was like a barber in that realm. And the four of them, along with, I just produced the show, the first hair radio show, I just produced it, and they would talk, and they were wonderful. I love them so very much. But you're looking back at a lens now that's very different than in 1995. In 1995, we all had to be in the same room to produce a radio show like that. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So you could dial in, but it was, you had to go off to a radio station in those days. So it was so hard to connect everybody who was in different places. And they were awesome. I love them so very much. I wonder whatever happened to them. I'm going to see if I can find them
that would
say
be
hi.
Great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to try to do that. I'm so glad we're having this discussion this morning on the Hair Radio Show. But, yeah, that's how I started. And the only reason I said, well, I love the hairstylist giving tips, but let me see if maybe I could do it, since I couldn't get everybody as often as I wanted to. And I had schedules and things like that to adhere to for the radio stations that we were on down in Newark, New Jersey. And so I said, I'll take over the hosting. If they'll accept me, I'm thinking, you know, as far as the public is concerned, I said, because I can look at it from the novice's point of view, which is probably it's the angle anyway that I wanted to have. I wanted to ask the questions genuinely that folks who need to know, you know, would like to know. It's the same thing I wanted to know. And that's what I did. Okay. I started with that in mind, and I took over the reins of host of my own show and creation for the Hair Radio Show, and that's how I started. But Mary, with that impetus, or with the thought anyway, that I was providing content for just the general public, I had no idea that we were going to be taken over, so to speak, by professionals in the industry, by the product companies, by all kinds of folks coming on board, by the entertainment folks even hijacked us. But I had
Talk about some of the product. Yeah, talk about some of the product connections and people in the industry that have appeared or that you've worked with on Hair Radio Network.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also just to wrap it up so you know what happened after that, because we went from the three-word title, the Hair Radio Show, to the actual kind of like five-word title, which is The Hair Radio Morning Show. So as I said, back in 95, the Hair Radio Show was created, and I'm very proud of that. And we started again with folks, you know, the general public providing tips. But as we moved along, I left the industry, and I wasn't as steeped in the hair industry. Let me just say that at that time. I got inspired by the folks at Bronner Brothers, which I'm shouting out the Bronner Brothers folks. I'm great friends with Bernard Bronner and all the people these days. But when I started, I didn't know them. So I went to the Bronner Brothers event down in Atlanta at that time and had a chance. I was so inspired by seeing so many amazing people of color assembled, great music blasting from through the rafters and all kinds of movement. And it was I was so touched. And then I got to know a lot of the African-American hairstylists who were there. They were off in their rooms. It was like a convention, and they invited me. They took me in and made me a part of their family. And that feeling is still with me today. And I have devoted myself to the betterment of this community, and it's never waned. I'm still a person who cares very much for hairstylists and for hair people. That will never change. And I'm glad that I hope that I've represented the community well. And so that is how the Hair Radio Show began. And we brought it back in 2015 as the morning show, kind of like a, you know, Steve Harvey-ish, you know, type radio show in which, and I didn't know if it was going to be accepted. I said, you know what? 3 hours every day, weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 hours a day live? Oh, my goodness.
That's commitment.
That's commitment. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And so I began, you know, producing that, never having been on this particular broadcast platform. But I started, and I had some friends, and they walked me through how to turn the buttons and hit the different things. I never done it on that platform. And I got started with show number one, which is still out there for folks to listen to. But the issue with that is there is a big difference from listening back then to those three-hour shows. Like, my first week was just chaos. I didn't know what I was doing and hitting different buttons and all of that stuff. Well, again, that was in 2015. And since then, we've had quite success with it. We're talking about, you know, like close to 1,000 shows later. And so I'm just so grateful. I really am. So you ask about some of the guests who were on the show. Again, early on, it was just about giving hair tips. And so I would have on illuminated hairstylists. So folks who had reached a certain level in the industry, as well as others who they were just sharing their success with other hairstylists who were on the way up. And I felt that all could contribute to better hair care for everybody. And that was the whole idea and the foundation of the Hair Radio Show. But I do have to share this. It all sounds like, oh, it's perfectly normal to talk about hair on radio. Well, yeah, it sounds perfectly normal now because of something called a podcast. But when I created and I first told individuals, I'm going to do a show called The Hair Radio Show, I was literally laughed at. Literally to my face laughed at. A show about hair on radio? What? Nobody wants what?
You just got to know who you are, right?
Truth. Well, let me tell you, Mary, that was how it was looked at back in 1995. So no one knew of a word called podcast, in which podcast talks about all kinds of a variety of subjects. Screwing in a light bulb can be a podcast. Well, nowadays, that's accepted. But in my day, again, there was no such thing as a podcast. We preceded the internet. So there was nothing but called like radio. And so I like to think of myself as, you know, the father of the podcast, if you will. Because that's what it was.
Oh, absolutely, a pioneer.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh. And when you talk about it's your day, I mean, it's still your day because
you have
not stopped growing and you've expanded just tremendously in the topics, in the range, and how you tie things together. It's like I know you have one book, but you need to make another book to explain kind of this rise and
yes.
how you process, because it is amazing.
Well, you're very kind. And yes, I do have a couple of things out there that's available for you guys to read, and I'll talk about that. But Mary, that's the whole thing. And talking about laughing at the idea and notion of talking about hair, I remember hearing, I was in Jersey, so the Northeast, and New York, the big newspaper, we have a couple. We have the big New York Times, which is a daily newspaper here for all the city. But we also had the New York Daily newspaper, and that was just as popular out there. Now, these are not, you know, I call, you know, throw papers for the urban side of town, if you know what I mean. So these were newspapers that reached across the board to every walk of life in New York City. And I remember that at that time, the reporter in New York, and the Daily newspaper anyway, they used to do a section called Radio Something. It was a radio section. He used to talk about radio shows back then. And he was doing, I used to read the man's column. I was so excited that we would be mentioned in his column one day. I was so excited. And so that's what happened. I remember he printed something about hair radio, but it wasn't all that kind. What he said was that, here it is, here's the announcement to tune in to hair radio show. But why would anybody really care so much? Hair is so esoteric. That was the word he used. I didn't know really all that.
Esoteric. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yes. And I had to look it up then, too. But I knew it wasn't a pat on the back, so to speak. So I was just happy that my name was in the newspapers. It was literally in the New York Daily newspaper, just that one line or two. And I didn't appear again in the New York Daily newspaper until maybe 10 years later when I did a 10-year celebration about the Hair Radio show. And it was done at this huge place in Manhattan called the TV of the Museum of Television and Radio, of TV and Radio.
Oh, wow.
And I had never – this is not a place where you see a lot of folks from the hood going up into, okay, I'm going to just put it honest, out there. And this was where they had been around for, like, years paying tribute to broadcast. And we're talking about broadcast, okay? And it is called, again, the Museum of TV and Radio. Now, they changed their name just recently to the Pelley Center. And and you can Google that out there. So they're still around, but they had a name change since we were there. They allowed me to come in. I couldn't afford to rent the space. And they allowed me to do a special 10-year celebration in their location. And I remember one of my good friends, Marilyn Bell, who is she had a magazine called Black Elegance, B.E., that she was the editor of or behind producing it. So she came to our event. So many other folks came to the Museum of TV and Radio in Manhattan in New York City to our celebration, and it was wonderful. They had chairs. You could all sit around and listen through the headsets and talk through their mics, and it was beautiful, a beautiful location. So I've got pictures of that, too. So that was my beginning. That was my beginning. So you asked about hair products and all of that in my books. I recognized that I had a lot to share. And I tell all the fans of the show, even to this day, that it's got to be something that is real and true. And, you know, a lot of folks have gone on to emulate what I do or to be inspired by what I do. All that's wonderful and good and all of that. But it's flattery. But mine is really, truly organic. Like I tell people, well, you know, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show, my three-hour live broadcast, which is Monday through Friday through Blog Talk. I said, you're listening to that from 6 to 9 New York Times, 5 to 8 Central. That's only 3 hours each day. I said, I literally am the Hair Radio Show 24 hours a day. This is not just something I turn on and turn off at the end at 9 o'clock when we go off the air that day. I'm literally living the life of the Hair Radio Show. I do interviews. I book guests. I give people updates. I write down things. It is a full on operation, Mary, a full on operation. So that's what I generally
do. Amazing. I mean, you still have to take care of yourself. So thank goodness you finally established business hours. But yeah. I know even when business per se is not something you're engaging in, you are still wrapped up in business things. So, I mean, we all benefit from it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Well, you got it, Mary. And that's really how we started. The Hair Radio Show then morphed into the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're still there in that space. And then I turned that into a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hair radio network. And what that was designed to do at the time, this was in the early 2000s when I first created the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, is what I called it back then, in which I would literally have a hair radio show going on around the clock. And that's how I started. And that was way ahead of everybody, way ahead. The only issue at that time in the early 2000s is that many of the hair salons didn't have computers in our community. They might have had them in the other communities. We didn't have that many of that. I used to literally go and walk from salon to salon. In the Northeast. So this is not something, you know, I didn't just wake up and decide I'm going to do hair radio. I lived every drop. I wrote hand cards and would pass out things and walk and talk to people. I went anywhere I could find to get the ear of folks who would listen, literally. And so that was my big thing. It really was. And I tried my darndest and kept beating the drum of the hair radio show out there. And we kind of kept on going from there. And that was really the generic start of how things kind of picked up. And my 24-hour network, I started it, and I said, you know what, I even knew that that was too early and ahead of its time. And I knew and felt it. I knew and felt it then. That was in like maybe 2003 or 4, something like that. So years later, long after I created even the 3-hour broadcast, long after I created that, because when I tell people that we're on or about around 1,000 broadcasts or what have you, it makes people think that I'm talking about my entire 25-year career or what have you, and I'm not. I'm only talking about the last several years as the morning version, the morning show, the radio morning show. So what I've done, the difference between that original 24-hour network that I created, the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, even the sharp-eared listeners, some of our interviews are classic interviews from that time period. You'll hear me intro them as the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. Well, you guys know out there, I no longer call it the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I call it the Hair Radio Streaming Network. So we are streaming these days, and I'll talk about that down the road, about the difference between broadcasting and streaming and all of that, and somehow some parts are the same and so forth and so on. But our streaming network is what has really done amazing things. And so we're the first to have that, which is based in hair and beauty. So I kept that theme going on our new version of this 24-hour network. But now I get to put on classic shows that I couldn't have done back then. I get to air the entire 3-hour episodes from our amazing archive of Hair Radio Morning Show episodes. And so largely when you tune in, you have that opportunity to listen to some of that, to listen back literally to some of those classic episodes with amazing guest stars that you asked me about earlier. Those guest stars include folks like C.C. Peniston, the amazing Dionne Warwick, who's, I mean, you're talking about folks who, C.C. Peniston is the queen of dance, you know, sold millions of records through Billboard. They kept track of all of that. But C.C. was one of the most sweetest celebrities. She was the very first celebrity that I think I interviewed ever. For radio, she was kind enough to come up to my production studio, I told you, in Newark, New Jersey. And she and her manager, she came there. It was a 3-story walk-up. And I sent a limo for Cece to come to our station in Newark, and she did. And she was just extraordinary and sat down with us. But the first, I think she came to the production studio, and there was just one mic. So we were real close in those days, literally.
Wow.
And we shared that one mic. And Cece was so sweet. She's the one out there, if you guys know, she had the big hit record called Finally. And so many others, you know, We Got a Love Thing and all these other songs that she had. Just huge success. And she's still out there, literally. So Cece came to the studio and did the interview with us at that time. And she, like I said, she was the very first to come to the broadcast. And she had huge hit records and all of that. And so from her, I went on to interview a lot of other music, local folks in music and all of that. But to have the kind of success that I would later experience interviewing folks like Ray Goodman and Brown, all those folks, they were on the show. And I think they started their radio show after coming to my radio show. But I went on to interview folks like Dionne Warwick and, again, Melba Moore. You're talking about Grammy and Tony Award-winning names. Gerald Austin, who also won a Grammy. I also interviewed the fella from the Four Tops. I interviewed so many people.
And their assistants, like the guy, Mary Wilson's assistant.
Yes, recently. Yeah, that's right. Well, the great Mary Wilson. And again, we touch across the landscape of entertainment and, and political world. I've interviewed folks from TV and movies and all that wonderful good stuff and folks I've been most inspired by. But, yeah, Mary Wilson that we lost not all that long ago, her last assistant was a wonderful fellow that I had not known before this interview piece. And he came to our show and told us the story. He was the person who discovered this amazing, incredible singer that she had passed. And you guys know Mary Wilson. She was one of the supreme singers, literally singing right next to Diana Ross and the other lady who had passed away earlier, that they kind of made that movie. We're talking about Florence Ballard, who they kind of made that movie Dreamgirls about. So all this. So, I've been able to tell the stories. And that's the other thing that goes back to all of this success is that being able to allow folks to come on this broadcast and tell their stories. About their amazing connections with some of these superstars. So who else did we have? I've literally interviewed folks that I really wanted to know about. My other favorite big one. Go ahead, Mary. Were you going to say something?
I was going to ask, who were some of your favorites? I know one of them that I found really entertaining, and it might just be because of the story, was the glue girl. It wasn't her, but the one who helped her remedy her issue.
Yes. Well, that's a good one. That's a juicy
You're just
one.
Always really progressive.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I've had many folks, everybody from being on radio, literally live with the White House when Michelle Obama was in the White House, her stylist, Johnny Wright at the time, who went on to do his own TV show on VH1, with friends of mine as well from the West Coast. But yes, Johnny was on our show. He literally told us all about being Michelle Obama's hairstylist at the White House, and that was just incredible. I think at the time also one of the biggest folks was Beyonce's dad, who was on our show, Matthew Knowles. And Matthew came to the Hair Radio Morning Show as a guest. He had no idea what we were really about. And when he got on, as many of you guys have heard his interview with us, he was so impressed, I think, because he had a chance to reconnect with his roots. And he told us about when Beyonce was a little girl and he had his family and his ex-wife, Tina Knowles. They had that hair salon out in the Houston area. So these were opportunities for me to let them tell their stories And but one of my favorites, because that's, I think, your question also, was that the gentleman who was over at CBS worked with the Good Times TV show.
John Amos?
Well, he worked with all of those people. John is still somebody I follow on social media to this day out of northern New Jersey. But no, the gentleman's name is Eric Monte. And you guys, I was a little kid watching Good Times and the Jeffersons and what's happening and what's happening now and all that stuff. And I remember every time I would look at the episodes, I'd see the name on my screen, Eric Monte. And I said, who in the world's name is Eric Monte? And that's, I never knew who it was, but I always wondered who this Eric Monte was. And it took years before I would figure out that it said the creator, Eric Monte. And so that's all I knew. To me, Norman Lear, who was the Caucasian gentleman, the person who created these characters, that's what I thought. But it did have his name there. It said Eric Monte, and also the gentleman who played Michael, let me just make it clear. It was Mike Evans and Eric Monte. Mike Evans mm-hmm. was the one who played Lionel number one on the Jeffersons TV show with the Afro. They later had another.
You know, I am remembering now because he wrote for it. Yes, I'm remembering now.
Exactly. Wow. Well, he was one of the co-creators of, I mean, it's an interesting story that I tell and I've played on the Hair Radio show, and I'll get it on sometime for you guys when you go over to our 24-hour streaming network at www.hairadio.com. You'll hear the story being told over there. But, yes, to get to the point of that, Eric Monte and Mike Evans went out to Los Angeles to pursue show business careers, and they both ended up connecting with this producer who is a super producer named Norman Lear. He's still with us. And, so Mike Evans and Eric Monte, and Eric Monte went on himself to create a movie that is, of anybody of a certain age, it is identifiable with our culture, called Cooley High. Well, he wrote
High.
Based on his life. Yeah. And so Eric, and Mike, and again, Mike Evans, if you guys remember on the TV show Good Times, the family's name was Evans. Well, that's why it was yep. named Evans, because it was named after Mike Evans. And the little kid name was Michael. That's why yep. his name was Michael Evans. He was named after Mike Evans, the actor and the writer. So so that went on, and the whole story unfolded. And we were so lucky to have this amazing – when I came back to radio, as I told you, I came back to the morning show and created the three-hour broadcast called the Hair Radio Morning Show back in 2015. I had the opportunity to interview one of my childhood heroes, and that is the incredible Eric Monte, who welcomed me back to radio. And along with his, yeah, so that meant the world to me to have, and Eric Monte provided a special message to all the fans of the broadcast. So that is something that I will always take with me. And that happened around the same time, the end of 2014, when the New York Daily newspaper, remember I told you about the two earlier times, I had brief mentions in that newspaper. But this time, at the end of 2014, they dispatched a big-time writer and photographer to my home area right here in Brooklyn, where I still live, and produce everything, to do a big story on me. That's out there on the Internet. It's out there, Carrie Hines, New York Daily News article. And that is still out there, and they did a big story on me. That was the same day that I got to interview the Reverend Jesse Jackson. And so, and his words were, "What is the hair radio show?" I never will forget that. But yeah, that kind of told me, you know what, maybe you're getting somewhere, Carrie. So when I came back to do the live show, the 3-hour morning show, that's the actual title of the New York newspaper, the New York Daily newspaper. They wrote, "Brooklyn host to revive hair radio show online." I'm not kidding. It's out there on the internet just like that. So, wow. You know, I'm very grateful. And that was one. I also had some of the publications, like the New York Amsterdam newspaper, did a big story on me as well. And so, and I've appeared in different magazines, hair magazine, you know, the Salon Operator newspaper, and a big, big publication called American Salon Magazine, which I think they're connected with a big international beauty show here in New York. They've had me on their magazine covers and for the events and all of that. I'm still connected with a lot of these people. We've become great friends over the decades and just been doing amazing things. But, yeah, that's been my life. That's been my life.
Wow.
And I didn't know I had so much to say.
Oh, wow. I bet we could go on and have more episodes of
yeah.
Listen Back, because you just scratched the surface of what even I know. So
yeah.
I just thank you for, like putting in all the work, all the time, all the effort, and enjoying it, and making us enjoy the journey,
Absolutely.
Too. It's amazing.
Well, Mary, before we go, I just want the folks to know how appreciative I am for you to take the time to give me a chance to tell more of my story. A lot of the fans don't know these things. I've never shared them like this. And I wanted to take a moment to say how inspired I am for making the acquaintance of Mary Reed Johnson and bringing you to the Hair Radio Network. And I know a little bit about Hair Head Heart. But what can you fill us in to tell us with before we say goodbye? What can you tell us about Hair Head Heart? So I'm going to switch the table back around.
Okay, now put me on the spot. Well, generically, Hair Head and Heart has to do, you know, top down, hair, literally, the mind, the things that go into thinking about not only processes, but you know, how to make your career better. So business development, career development, that type of thing. So hair, head, and then the heart is the passion that not only I have, but the people who are service providers in the industry to make that just better. So anything concerning hair, head, and heart, I offer services still. I'm not sure how many more I'll be doing that, but I still offer services. And I'm licensed as an instructor as well as a service provider in Michigan and Minnesota. But I'm offering more and more workshops because it's easier to reach people these days. And so, you know, look for different things online, and I'll keep you posted as that.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm saying thank you to Mary Reed Johnson, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much, Mary. Outstanding. Great job.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I put my love on you.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us right now. He runs actually the Soul Snacks Cookie Company. His name is Ralph Roll. Now, Ralph, you are the man behind the Soul Snacks Cookie Company. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. My cookie company, I started many years ago, actually back in 1996, in my apartment in the Bronx. And the product came from original recipes that dated back almost to the turn of the century of 1900s from my grandmother. I just watched how she baked and my mother baked and just learned from there and then took that to the marketplace later on. That's a very, very, very condensed story. But I learned from my, watching my grandmother and my mother just be in the kitchen. Those are the origins of where we started.
Well, that is amazing. It really is. When I saw your name, I said, well, hold it. Is that, I guess you get a little bit of the folks, because your name, did I pronounce it correctly? Is it Roll?
Yeah, it's Roll. The E is silent.
It's Roll, okay. Well, don't people kind of make a connection between Roll and cookies? Has that been brought to your attention? Probably more than once. So I just love it. So that's why I said, wow, how neat is that? Okay, so you got to tell us about the Soul Snacks cookies. You have got to tell everybody about it, because when I saw it, just caught my attention right away. So please share a little bit more about your amazing company.
Well, when we started the company in 1996, it was basically my girlfriend and I were trying to figure out a way to save money for the holidays.
Mm.
In doing that, we had 36 friends and family, and that was the only way that we could, afford to actually give out gifts. So I suggested, why don't we make the cookies? Because I had made cookies for her when we had first started living together. And we gave the cookies out to everyone, and everyone got back in touch and said, wow, these are really good. You should think about selling them. And so we said, I've thought about doing it before. This is a sign. So let's just follow the sign and start selling the product. So the very first place that I sold the product, I was playing drums at an open mic at Sylvia's restaurant in New York City.
Yes, of course.
Most people do.
Yeah.
And restaurant at the time was the proprietor for the evening. So I called her up and I said, Mel, I have an idea. I want to sell cookies, and I'd like to do it there at the open mic. And she said, fine, do it. There's no problem. So I brought the cookies in, and we gave samples away, and everyone bought the cookies. And there was a guy at the bar from a magazine called YSB Magazine, used to be owned by BET.
Okay.
And he liked the cookies. And
I remember that magazine, yes.
Yeah, yes. So he said, tell me more about what you guys are doing. And I told him, well, I'm the drummer at the Apollo Theater. I'm on the television show Showtime at the Apollo. And my girlfriend is a Juilliard graduate, and we both came out of public housing. And we decided to start the business. And I thought we would only get a couple of responses from it, and I was totally wrong. We got hundreds of people buying the cookies, which made it very difficult for us to bake out of our small apartment oven. So I asked a friend of mine whose mom had a brownstone, and the bottom of the brownstone was vacant, and I asked Ms. Durant, is her name, if I could convert it into a kitchen, and I just knew she was going to say no. But she actually said yes.
Wow.
And that was our first baking facility. It had a convection oven, three-tub sink, ventilation, storage room, preparation room. And then we grew out of that. But in the interim of all of that, my girlfriend decided she didn't want to have anything to do with me or the cookies.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so we went our separate ways, and I ran the company for a while by myself. But that was very difficult because I was at the time busy as a musician. So I stopped for a couple of years, and then I met my current wife, and we decided after our daughter was born that we were going to start the company back again, and we did it exactly the same way again, one rack at a time in an apartment. And my first client was Melba's restaurant.
Oh, Melba's restaurant, yes, in Harlem,
yeah. Yeah, so she was the one that brought us in, and she was the one that brought us in again as the first client. The second was Dougie Fresh had a restaurant.
Oh,
and then we kind of built
wow.
We just built it from there.
Wow.
That's the beginnings, yeah.
Well, I'm also a cookie fiend. I absolutely love that. That's the other reason it caught my attention so much. Well, first of all, I want to take a moment, you know, just if you would be kind enough, and then I want to jump back to the cookies. But can you tell us a little bit about your music career?
Oh, yeah. I started as a drummer at a very young age. I picked up drums from watching my brother. He had a drum set.
Wow.
And my mother allowed him to have drums in our small bedroom. And I just loved it because, you know, for two reasons. There was a drum set in the middle of the room, and it gave me an excuse to be able to jump on the bed. But
I love it.
But you know, my brother, he said I could play the drums, and I'm left-handed. And he said, as long as you don't change the drums around, we're fine.
Wow.
So I'm a left-handed drummer that plays on a right-hand setup, and I play open-handed. And it's kind of worked to my favor moving forward because it allows me to do things with my left hand independently for drummers out there that some cross-hand drummers, you know, they don't really do. So, but that's how it all started. And then my first professional gig, I was 19 years old, with a group called Musique. And they had a hit song called Push, Push in the Bush.
Oh, who doesn't know that song?
Yeah, yeah. That was the name of the song.
Yeah. I remember it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't even tell my mother the name of the song. That was the name of the song.
Yeah.
And from there, people, you know, started passing my name around, and I was working in a local band, and I just kept practicing and learning and just, you know, trying to hone in on my craft and turn into a vocalist.
Well, you're very kind, and I'm going to just spell it out for folks. I mean, you have worked with the likes of Nile Rodgers and Chic, Sting, Bono, the one and only Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, you know, the Notorious B.I.G., Queen Latifah, Erykah Badu, Chris Farley, D'Angelo, India Ari, and so many others. And you were part of the band, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, it's the Showtime at the Apollo, for about 15 seasons, that was.
Yeah.
So, and that's TV. That's the big time. So, was this a big transition, you know, getting over to do the cookies, or did that somehow, in some strange way, might have prepared you for entrepreneurial type success?
Well, you know, being in the music business is not an easy journey for most, and you have to have a certain set of, you know, just values in order to want to survive in the business, and there has to be a passion that you just are not willing to give up on for most. You know, most of the people that I'm involved with, we all share that same synergy as far as how we saw the business and how we survived the business and how we, you know, just kept moving forward. I mean, all of my friends now started exactly the same way that I started, in a band, you know, hustling in a car with your gear that was falling apart, trying to just make it with, you know, not that great of equipment. And then if you believe it, you know, you just keep practicing. You know, I mean, I'm in a car with three of my closest friends.
Oh.
They all have the same story, you know.
Wow.
You know, they put their fingers and lives and and just everything into, you know, their craft. You know, there was one gentleman that's sitting behind me. I saw him start in the business And watched him grow to the point that he's worked on many television shows. The gentleman to my left, he's worked with probably more people in the business than all of us as a, not only a player, but an engineer. And the gentleman sitting in front of me is a Grammy Award winning a writer.
Well, hold on. We got to drop some names.
Okay.
Tell us their name so we can Google them.
Yes. Behind me is Russell Graham. Next to me is Richard Hilton. In front of me is Jerry Barnes. And over on my left is the very cool driver that I don't know his name.
I have to shout all of you out because that is just incredible. And I love that. It just reminds me of how much iron sharpens iron, as they say, and you travel in these circles of folks, you know, where you're all going somewhere and in your own directions as well, but you're still, a concentrated effort and, you know, focused and all that kind of stuff. I think it's amazing. So I love hearing stuff like that. I really do. I've got to tell you, though. When I look back and I started thinking about the cookies, every time I think of, and I hate to say because I said, you probably are tired of being compared to, do you know who I'm going to mention?
Wally.
Maybe you're too young to know this guy, but he was a person who had an interesting story when I was growing up. And that's the only African-American man I can think of, connected with cookies so much. And that is Famous. So I grew up with that understanding. Did you, have you been compared to him or have people brought him up to you or anything at all on that level?
I am constantly compared to Wally.
And here I go and ask you the same question.
but it's good company to be compared to because as far as the industry is concerned, there aren't a lot of prominent companies that have gotten to the level of a Famous Amos. And I'm just very proud to be just mentioned in the same company. Now, what's odd is when I was in public school in the Bronx at PS 77, one of my childhood friends and classmates was a guy named Michael Amos. And Michael Amos used to say that his father owned a cookie company.
Wow.
So the only thing that I heard was cookies, so do you have any? He said, no, my father lives in California. And later on when I heard about Famous Amos Cookies, it was just, the Amos name is such a unique name. You can only assume that that was his father. So, Michael said, Wally Amos is my dad. And actually, Michael made it possible for me to meet Wally when I was he lives in Hawaii. And it was a very, very emotional moment for me because Wally just stands for so much. And just to meet him, and he came out and we talked, and, he was like Yoda. He gave me so much wisdom about the business and, just how to, what to look for, what to be careful of, and it was great. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is that's just amazing. It really is. Now, speaking of your cookies, I want to get into some of the variety of delicious flavors and what they, what kind of cookies you offer. Can you tell everybody a little bit about, because I'm just loving just the idea of Georgia oatmeal raisin, but please tell everybody about your cookies that you offer, some of the different ones.
Funny,
you got
it's
a lot.
Funny that you hit on those two recipes. The main one is Georgia oatmeal raisin, which was one of the earliest recipes that came from my grandmother. That and the chocolate chip is basically how I started. I started making mostly chocolate chip and oatmeal raisin cookies from remembering the recipes from what my grandmother, my mother had made. And then just developing from that, we developed a sweet potato cookie, a lemon cookie, a cranberry oatmeal cookie, a chewy oatmeal raisin cookie. We have a French cocoa chocolate chip cookie now. What else do we have? We have a peanut butter cookie. I named the cookie after my grandmother, her grandpa's chocolate peanut butter cookie. And I named the sweet potato after my Uncle Ralph, which he just passed away in 96, about 2 months ago. So, you know, just being, having all
very
those
sorry.
Things, my favorite, oh, getting out of the car, my favorite is called lemon love cookie. I love the lemon cookie that we have. It's a great product. It's one of my favorites, and it goes so well with ice cream. I love the lemon love. Yeah. But we're always developing new flavors. We now have a full line of vegan gluten-free cookies as well.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yes. Well, I'm loving this. You've got to, you know, tell everybody how they can get their hands on these cookies.
Well, if you go to soulfest.com, you will see the full list of cookies you can order in three different sizes, 12, 24, and 32 cookies. And coming in the next week, there will be a full list of all 789 Walmart stores that we will be in.
That is amazing. We've got to repeat that. So your cookies will be found in about 700 or 800 Walmart stores. Are you serious? That's amazing. Congratulations.
And Kroger as well. Kroger just picked us up as well. And now we're looking at Target. You know.
Wow. Well, we are so proud. We are so proud.
I am so fortunate to have the opportunity to have my product in front of a large audience. You know,
absolutely.
What an amazing journey that I wouldn't say for anything.
Well, we're going to keep our eyes on you, of course, and keep eating those cookies. And
I got to make sure that you get some.
You do, because every day I would go down to my mailbox, and I said, I know that they're sending me some cookies. But I got to order. You know, that's my job, to order these cookies. So I'm loving what you're doing, and we support.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. Well, listen, here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, we are going to do some things, and we want to make sure that, we send you to soulsnacks.com. We want you guys to pick up these amazing cookies and join the rest of the world. We look like we're just getting on the bandwagon here, but all continued success to you and to your folks there in the car and everybody that you're traveling with and all of that. So thanks again for being with us on the Hair Radio Show. You know,
and thank you for having me. I really appreciate
you
it.
You got it. All right, folks. Ralph Roll, what can we say? The Soul Snacks Cookie Company. Amazing. Just amazing. All right. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story
and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live on this Thursday morning. It is February 24th of 2022. I just wanted to check in with everybody. I just love that whole interview with Ralph Roll. I have to say, and for you guys out there, we're going to talk a little bit. So if you got something to share, you want to comment about what you've heard today through on any of the items that we put forth, please press 1. We'll get you right on the air. So I'm real excited about that today to talk to everybody. I had some fans of the show who said we have to get more folks on to share. They have some comments in between some of the pieces. Let me see. You know what? Let me just see who this is, who's chiming on in as we're live this morning. You are on the air. May I have your name and where are you calling in from? Hi, caller. Phone
good
number
morning,
4. Is it 4? Michael, I know that voice anywhere. Michael Hopkins from VTR Vet Talk Radio Show. I know you're an avid listener of our program. Well, okay. Go ahead. What do you have to say? Good morning, Michael Hopkins.
Good morning, Terry.
What did
Hines.
You think?
How are
what
you
did
this
you
morning?
Hear? What did, I'm doing great. It's great to have you tuning in. So what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. I am going to Mr. Roll's website, and I'm ordering cookies, and more cookies.
Yes, me too. Well, listen, I absolutely love this man. And when, you know, first of all, like I told him, I love the idea of anything oatmeal. You had me at oatmeal and certainly oatmeal and raisin and just throw in some Georgia. I'm all in. So I'm purchasing as well, at least, I think he has something around there, like about 20, 30, something like that. It's very affordable. And I don't care what the price is. I got to pay for cookies. But I'm going to have him to autograph my bag of cookies. I want that. But other than that, just a fantastic. I want to bring these people to the forefront. These are entrepreneurs. These are people in our community. What you guys hear me every day, I always lead off the show with Maggie Anderson talking about supporting, you know, black-owned businesses and all of that. Very important, and she talks about the Black Hair Challenge. You guys have heard it here all the time. This is why we have to do these things. We have to support. I mean, you would think this is like a no-brainer. But if, you know, maybe we just don't realize the importance. Like I tell folks, when you support the Hair Radio Morning Show, you guys are advertisers. They buy little commercials. They tell other folks, oh, your commercial, you need to be advertising your shampoo on the Hair Radio Show. Oh, you need to be a guest. Oh, you have a new book. You need to go tell people at the Hair Radio Show. I love it. Because spending a little bit of money with this company is like spending a lot of money with one of those big corporations or big businesses out there. It means a lot, and it goes further when you support your community. So I'm going to shout it to the rafters. Speaking of support and all of that good stuff, and Michael, I'll tie right back around to your sentiment this morning. But I really want to say just I'm offering folks an opportunity to own their own little portions of Hair Radio. So take this to heart, Michael. You guys out there, you'll be able to very affordably buy a portion of our promotions business for your own community. So it's kind of like franchising out the Hair Radio brand all over the place. And so I'm real excited about it. So you guys can call me after 9 o'clock on our brand new toll-free number. So grab a pen and paper, and I'll get it right out to you right now. And call me after the show wraps. I'll talk to you guys about it. I think you're going to love it. It's 833-402-8882. Michael, I'm going to say it again, 833-402-8882. Those lines don't open up until 9 o'clock. That's when you'll be able to reach it this morning, 9 o'clock New York time, 8 o'clock Central. But I have to say, you know, just to tie it back, these cookies, they look amazing. Now, what about the music part? Did you hear that piece? Did you hear him mention about his music career?
Oh, yes, I did, Carrie. And when he said the Apollo, my Wayback machine started going off. But then I realized I probably, more than likely, I used to watch the Apollo Theater on TV because it was late night. And I am quite sure I saw him on the Apollo Theater.
Yes. Well, he was there for like 15 years. So 15 seasons.
Oh, yeah. I'm quite sure I saw him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I my favorite part was when he literally said that he couldn't tell his mama about the song he played. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I can't even repeat the title either. But
yeah,
that just brings back
lots of memories. Those of us who grew up in that era, it brings back lots of memories. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just glad that we get a chance. You know, I do a lot of entertainment pieces here on the show. I'm always touched by these award-winning artists, these amazing, incredible persons who have supported me on my journey. Earlier today, Michael, I don't know if you heard it, we had on Mary Reed Johnson. And it was an opportunity for me to share and take a listen back at some of the things that influenced me to get me here, to get me to this very chair behind the desk right here at the Hair Radio Show. So it was just extraordinary. So if you guys missed that, you need to play this back because I think it was a revealing take on the success of Hair Radio. So please, if you can. And Michael, if you need to catch it, do listen back. I want you to take a listen. And let me know what your thoughts are.
Most definitely. And you know, Carrie.
Go right ahead, Michael.
There's another thing that I enjoyed immensely about him. He mentioned Wally Famous Amos. And a lot of people don't know that Wally Famous Amos is an Air Force veteran of the United States.
Wow. Wow. Well, I hope you talk about this on your next Vet Talk radio show on Tuesday, Michael Hopkins, at 8:30.
Oh, so, yes, sir. We definitely will.
Yeah, well, I want to shout him out again. You know, I grew up, and you're also from Philadelphia, Michael. And I know how, you know, we were always taught. I always heard the stories of Famous Amos since I was a little boy. I always had heard about this man, and but to hear it from Ralph's mouth to talk about his amazing connection, it does mean it really means something when you meet your heroes. It does, and I can tell you firsthand. I've met so many of my heroes. That's what I was trying to get across on the broadcast today, mid-show with Mary. This show has allowed me to meet so many incredible persons that I never knew I was going to talk to. And it allows me further to share that with you guys. And it means a great deal. Now, Michael, and you are not a fan. I know you don't watch Wendy. But any of you listeners out there, if you watch Wendy Williams, I want you to press one right now. I want you to join us in this conversation because I don't know how you might feel. And what I've got to say might kind of rub some folks a little differently, but I got to be honest about this whole Wendy thing. Now, I don't know if you guys heard this, but Wendy's show is ending very soon. Her broadcast is going to end. She's been replaced. You guys know Wendy Williams. She has had a lot on her plate in recent times. But I want to go back a little bit. And I have to be, I just got to say it the way it is. Like she says, say it like you mean it. Well, I'm going to say it like I mean it this morning. I look back at this show, and when I got a hold of Wendy Williams, she had already been on VH1, and she had already started this syndicated show that's produced by Detmar Mercury to a Caucasian gentleman, which is fine. But what kind of bothered me when I watched Wendy's show, and we shared many of the same guests, I talk about you know, Michelle Obama's hairstylist. Well, he was on Wendy's show right before he did my show. Matthew was on her show right before he did my show, or right after. These folks have all been, you know, we kind of always do that in this kind of realm of entertainment, so to speak, or infotainment, if you will. But Wendy, back to Wendy, I watched the show and I felt a little bit not so great, because it felt as though Wendy's show, and this is, again, my personal belief, that I felt as if it was tearing down the notion of African-American men particularly. And I just thought it was so trivial, so terrible of an idea to do that. And I remember when she had on Donald Trump and literally beating the head over her viewers that folks should support this man, and how incredible we would be so lucky to have Melania Trump at the time, and all of this kind of stuff. Obviously see how all that worked out. And I just never felt comfortable with this broadcast. I would watch on occasion because I felt that we didn't have enough, at least I didn't see enough black faces. So I would watch at least so that I could hear something or see something that I could connect with. And, of course, the constant berating. One of the low moments was when she turned over her hand and pointed to the back of her hand to indicate, I guess, black. And I said to myself, wow, just low life kind of feelings that I had. And I just didn't appreciate it. Now, I have only been in the presence of Wendy Williams one time in my life, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. I think we have another caller here. Your phone number ends in 18. Do you have something to share this morning? May I have your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning, Carrie and Michael. This is Nicole.
Oh, I know that voice.
Good morning.
To my program, my fan regulars. Hi, good morning, Nicole. Good morning. Michael,
good morning.
Still on with this? We're talking about the one and only, I think irreplaceable, Wendy Williams to some degree, but she is being replaced.
Yes.
But right now I'm just kind of going in a little bit on how I think there are a lot of folks who feel like I do initially, that she was beating up on black folk. And I think that that didn't sit well with so many folks. And the thing is, I always look to this, and I don't wish ill or bad on anybody, but to me it seems a little bit karma-like. And I think if you know that you live in a glass house, don't pick up bricks, and certainly don't toss them in anybody's direction. I mean, anybody with half a brain to me would know that you don't beat up on people in the community. So, and then further to find out that, you know, her show, in my opinion, is produced by these two Caucasian gentlemen, and no African-Americans on the management level of her staff, you know, it doesn't surprise me. This is what, you know, and that if you're appealing, trying to appeal to a certain segment, viewers, I think she accomplished that. So, but what goes around comes around. So, Nicole, I know you chimed in. What would you like to say this morning?
Carrie, I totally agree with you. I wasn't a regular viewer of the Wendy Williams show, but every now and then I would look at it or look at, you know, parts of it, and I totally agree with you. I think instead of looking at the good in people, she kind of made a mockery of our community and always looked for
exactly.
the negative and who she could talk about and who she could just, you know, kind of downgrade.
Yes.
And
exactly.
I totally agree
with
you
on
that,
the head.
You know, yes.
You hit it on the head. A mockery of our community.
Yes, and instead of celebrating us, it was all about just making a mockery of us and just saying, okay, well, who else can I talk about? Who else can I downgrade?
Exactly. And letting out things that we have long been a part of the Black community to expose us, so to speak, and expose things that
right.
maybe shouldn't be so talked about. But I'll tell you something, what
right.
dawned on me, and I do not know Oprah personally, although Oprah is a good friend of one of my good friends, of course. But the thing that always gets me is that, you know, and I love Oprah, but I don't know, Oprah always goes on everybody's talk show, but I never saw her on Wendy Williams' show. Never saw
right.
her on Never.
Right.
That tells you when Oprah steers clear, you know, she went on Steve Harvey, went on everybody else's show. But no Wendy. So I'll tell you, the other side of this, the only time I ever saw Wendy Williams, put my hand up to God, the only time I ever was in her presence, I remember it was this interview. It was an interview I had with this, you guys have heard this, this wonderful lady on. I'm just going to play 5 seconds because I want to remind you, I'm going to leave the mics on and leave everybody in. Because this is the only time that I ever even had the, you know, was in the same space with this lady. And I was just, I've got to tell you about it because that's interesting all by itself. But this is where we both work.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. I've got a very special guest on the line with us, Miss Alicia Marie Rivers. Of Jolie Magazine.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm fine, Alicia. Welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to jump right on in. Let's tell the folks about Jolie Magazine.
Well, Jolie Magazine is a beauty and wellness magazine for women of color. We have as our editor-at-large, Vivica Fox, and what we basically cater to is women and encourage them to feel pretty and to live pretty, which is our tagline.
Now, how did the...
Now, that was the magazine that both Wendy and I were associated with. And so when Alicia had her big premiere for the magazine in New York City, at the time I was living in northern New Jersey, this was in probably about 2005, because I kind of remember a little bit. I had gone out, the Farouk Hair Company had sent me out to Houston. But I remember going to this event. Wendy was there with, she was in this long, I remember this real big tall woman with a big long coat on, all bundled up, with a real scowl on her face. I'm telling you, this is my personal account. And like a look like, do not speak to me, don't talk to me, anybody. They had tables and we were all at our own little spots, and I was there with my friend Dennis. And Dennis tried to approach. I said, you don't want to approach. She did not look very friendly to me at that time, and this is the truth. So I'm speaking the truth this morning. And so I just, you know, I never forgot that look. Now, it could have been her ex-husband. I don't know. I don't remember the guy or the little crew she had with her. But I saw it with my own eyes. And I remember just not getting a friendly vibe. That's the truth. I'm telling you, it seemed like what I got from the TV was the way the person was to me. Now, I tell you something, I don't know what to say. It's is something I'm glad to see the show go. To be quite honest, I am. I'm happy to see it go. But I hope the very best for her, to get her life, because we can't stand in judgment of anybody else. So I certainly wish that she's able to get herself what appears from the outside. We don't know what's really going on, but we wish her well. So I'm sure she'll be back with another show or something too. And we want to say Sherry. Do you guys think Sherry will do a good job, Sherry Shepherd? Nicole, what about you? Do you think Sherry is going to come in and kill it?
I believe so. I have seen a couple of the shows that she has hosted, and I think that she did a great job. So I do believe that she will.
Well, okay,
And also,
Nicole, what were you
going back quick. Going back quickly to what you were speaking of, I definitely hope that Wendy does. I hope and pray that she does get it together. She's had, you know, a lot of public issues that have come out. But like you said, we never really know what's going on. But I just want to say I believe that hurt people, and I think that was part of the problem as well.
Well, I don't think I'm not going to be so nice because I don't think that was the case. I think it was all motivated program-wise and ratings and all this kind of stuff tied up into that. But what goes around comes around. And, again, we don't wish anything bad on anybody, but I could certainly understand why folks have clapped, sadly, you know, at this thing. But, you know, hopefully, like I said, I hope she'll be okay. So that's what we want at the end
I
of the day.
So too.
Here in New York, I remember she got into this huge argument with the late Whitney Houston, and it was on radio, and my ears had never heard anything like that. And to me, it was about making a name for yourself, which is what, you know, what to me Whitney was saying. It's just been too much. And she, to me, needs to really go take a long break. Take a long break. You know, and we'll be okay. Now, I've got to say, so that was my whole thing. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to see what Sherry does. I like Sherry, but I'll tell you this. I remember watching Sherry on The View, and I think her first day she was saying how the world was flat. So I never quite forgot that first or second day. But she's a sweet girl, and she's very talented, and we wish her the best. And I'm hoping maybe I'll try to get an interview with Sherry, but maybe not after that comment. But we'll see. We hope and wish for her the best. So we'll be right. We'll stay, and I'll keep you guys informed. So listen, Michael Hopkins, Nicole. I have to say, Nicole, you are always right there. Whenever I have a question to the audience, and we've got folks lined up from here going 95 South this morning tuned in, but I thank you for sharing your comments. And Michael, you guys are a constant reminder for us. Yeah, you do a great job,
love
having you guys on the show. And while we're at it, I better shout out the rest of Michael's team, the Angels. We call them Michael's Angels because on his show, on a Vet Talk show, they're always featured as well. Towards the end of the show, we've got Katrina as well as Nurjahan in addition to Nicole and, of course, Michael, the host. And I just love doing the show with these guys, and they're just a blast. Now, I said to myself, I was telling Michael the other day, and I know we got to wrap it up here, but I was telling Michael the other day, I said, Michael, wouldn't it be nice to go ahead and put on the actual interview I have with the Angels lady? I have a connection to Charlie's Angels, the old TV show as well, with the amazing, most folks didn't know there was a singer behind it. So behind the hit theme song that you guys all know. But I had her on this very broadcast. And so I'll get that on one day for you guys. Over at Vet Talk Radio show. So listen, I've enjoyed the show. I don't know how much of it you guys heard today, but I hope you had a good time. And we'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock from 6 to 9. It's Fan Day Friday. You guys are going to meet a wonderful young lady. You've been introduced to her yesterday. She was on our show, Jaimisha. She's got a lot to say and a lot to talk about, so she'll be on tomorrow with me throughout the whole show. So I'm excited. I also will talk about IBF, the International Beauty Show, which is happening in New York City, coming up in about 3 weeks from right now, and I got to go, so I'll be excited to tell you all about it. And we've been in big talks, and just all these folks support the Hair Radio Show, and I just love them so much for taking us under their wing and stuff. So I'll tell you all about it tomorrow on Live Talk. And that's it. Tomorrow, Friday again, Fan Day Friday. I'm going to try to feature some more with Mary stuff. We have such a blast and so much fun. So that's it. Nicole, thank you for being on the show today. Michael Hopkins, thank you so much. And to all the folks of the Hair Radio Morning Show, Vet Talk Radio Show, remember, it does not end here. Go over to www.hairadio.com, and you'll be able to listen around the clock. And I promise I'm going to try to get on a whole bunch of new stuff there this morning. So I think it's going to be enjoyable. And we'll get some more of these broadcasts on some of the recent shows. So, enjoy. And, folks, I think that's it. Let's go ahead and get the outro started. Guys, I'll see you on Tuesday on the next Vet Talk Radio Show. Nicole, thank you so much. Michael Hopkins. And for everybody else, all of our Hair Radio Morning Show fans, here's the outro. Make it an awesome Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, stimulatingroots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, it's R-U-T-Z. Get amazing hair products that support healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, stimulatingroots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z. Is how they spell roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services. And you will find many of them right here in our website store at www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com, spelled with just one R. Now, it's also been our honor to welcome our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans from coast to coast in the United States and North America to continents all around the world. Our many friends and family folks over in Ghana,
South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, and our folks across the diaspora of Africa, of course. Now, we're also thanking our big fan base in Europe, folks over in Italy, Spain, France, England, and really all over there, to folks back here, right here in America, folks who join me from all different time zones. I broadcast from right here in Brooklyn, New York. The show is live from 6 in the morning to 9 Eastern. Again, that's Monday through Friday. So we're on the East Coast, and we're reaching folks who tune in from the Central Time Zone, from out in the West Coast Time Zone, and we are just honored, and we thank you. From New York to L.A. and from, you know, from Boston to Miami, Florida. So we just love you guys. Whether you're in Texas, Chicago, wherever you are, you can tune into this broadcast. And again, we thank all of our amazing fans. And to the islands, we haven't forgotten about you folks. We thank you. We welcome you. We appreciate your participation in our broadcast. Now, it's been my honor to pay tribute to some of our amazing guests also who join me right here for live interviews, including the biggest story in the whole country was all about Tessica Brown and the Gorilla Glue. Well, we had the very doctor, the miracle doctor, Dr. Ovang, right here on our show all the way from Beverly Hills, California. He told us all about the incident. Also, I had a chance to chat with Beyonce's dad, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Lilia Bundles, was on with us. Also, and that was before she was on the Netflix show. I also wanted to mention, or before she created that, the book sponsored her show on Self-Made on Netflix. You guys know what I'm talking about. And from the famous Bronner Brothers family, we had one of the Bronner Brothers on. Bernard Bronner was my very special guest recently as well. Now, I had a chance to interview many, many folks from the world of music as well, of course, like Grammy winners Dionne Warwick, Gerald Austin from the Manhattans, to Broadway Tony Award-winning legends like the one and only music icon as well, Miss Melba Moore, to singers like Cece Tennyson, Allison Williams, Tony Terry, Lenny Williams, to other hair industry superstars like Kim Berry. You guys know she was the hairstylist to super legendary singer Prince for about 29 years. So we take music seriously on our daily broadcast, and we play some of your favorite songs, or mine, as well, right here on our show. And each show, we kind of use that to kind of encase each broadcast. Now, also remember to visit our website. We've got two. One is hairradio.com. That's spelled HAIradio.com with one R. So there you can shop. We have a big website store, but more importantly, we have our 24-hour, 7 days a week radio network there where you can click the play button and listen 24 hours a day, all the time. We feature original hair and beauty content, new radio shows, music, classic broadcasts, so much more. Please visit hairradio.com for that. Then our second website is our event website. Now, we put all of our event information right there. It's called hairnationexpo.biz. So let me just say that again. It's www.hairnationexpo.biz. And again, that's our umbrella destination online website where we tell everything about our upcoming live hair event. So go there if you want the details on where we'll be next for our live and in-person hair and beauty event where you can come and meet us. Please do that. Now also, let me introduce you to my very own product, Kerapy, K-E-R-R-A-P-Y, yes. We take the K-E-R-R from my name, Carrie, and the A-P-Y from therapy, and there we have it. It's Kerapy Shampoo and Kerapy Conditioner, two great products from Carrie Hines Hair Care that are fortified especially for hair growth. Now find out how you can become a distributor and have them sold in your shop and or sell to others. Please let us know if you have an interest. Now, my book, by me, yes, Carrie Hines, is called How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's the best way you can get to thinking about adding money to your bottom line. It's available on Amazon.com, or you can contact us directly through social media or through our broadcast for an autographed copy. Again, it's How to Get Rich in the Hair Business by me, Kerry Hines. And I've got some secrets that are only available in that book. Now, we say stay connected to us on social media. You can do that. You'll find us on Twitter at HAI Radio. That's HAI Radio. Yes, Hair Radio. We pronounce it Hair Radio. It's spelled with one R. And on Facebook, you can find us if you search The Hair Radio Morning Show. Same thing on Google. During your Google search, you can just enter 5 words, The Hair Radio Morning Show. And out will pop up all of our broadcasts. So you're talking about 600 broadcasts. Also, under Kerry Hines, we have so many professional pages across Facebook. And on Instagram, we're Hines Kerry, HINESKERRY. If you're looking for business cards to promote yourself, or flyer cards, or posters to hang on your walls at your hair salons or barbershops, or what have you, or any kind of digital graphic, we can handle that at Hair Radio Graphics. You're going to love what we design, create, and print, and ship to you. So please let us know if this is something that you're interested in. You can even use the digital designs to promote yourself across your social media, and ours for that much. Now, if you're interested in being a guest and joining me live on the Hair Radio Morning Show, or you would like to advertise your products, we have great special discounts, and we're so happy to welcome you. Call us directly at 862-277-0686. Again, it's 862-277-0686. Or go, of course, to HAIRadio.com. Now, we have close to 700 live, 3-hour broadcasts in our archives. And we've become the most prolific hair and beauty talk radio show worldwide. We're number one. And we thank you for helping us to get there and listening to you on the next broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I just want to say thank you so much. I really do. It's been a great honor and a pleasure and a privilege. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thank you.